John's Gospel, chapter 14, John chapter 14. Now we are studying and looking at the words of Jesus. Specifically today, we're going to look at what Jesus had to say about the kingdom of God. Now, when we get born again, we enter into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has a different set of rules. It has a different set of laws or principles that govern it. And the kingdom of God has a king. How many know who the kingdom of God, whose king it is? All right, so let me give you some little basics here right quick just to kind of review and just bring you up to where we have been sharing these things. First of all, Jesus preached and he taught things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
Praise the Lord. Okay. This one I preach more. If I got this in my hand, I'll start preaching. So, you just write it down. Acts 1:3 talks about Jesus when he appeared to his apostles and his disciples, that he taught them the commandments of the Lord and he taught them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And in order to get in the kingdom of God, the Bible teaches us that we have to be born again. We have to first of all repent and we turn to God. And that does not mean that you will automatically live a successful life. It does not mean that automatically that you'll have that power displayed or the manifested presence of God in your life. Okay? There's some things that you have to do and some principles that you have to live by. That's why we're teaching these things. I love to preach, but you know, we have to come back down after the dust settles and live out these principles, live out these things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Could somebody say amen? Amen. Jesus taught us that the kingdom of God is within us. He said people will come and say, lo there and lo here. But Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It's not in meat or drink, but it's in righteousness, peace, and joy. We talked about those things. Jesus said, you must lose your life in order to find your life. Now, that means that we have to do exactly what Jesus said, and that's to lay down our life to serve Him. Now, this is not a popular message. This is not a popular message for today's church. The reason being is because people want to live their life the way they want to live it. And everybody has a right to live their own life the way that they want to live it. But when you give your life to Jesus, your life doesn't belong to you anymore. Amen? I don't know if you can stick them in there or not. You can try. Praise the Lord. Stop the tape. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Did you hear what I just said? I feel like I'm being operated on. Praise the Lord. You just can't. You get what you pay for. Don't buy batteries at the dollar store anymore. I was just saying, that's not a popular message of laying down your life to serve God, because most people just don't do it. But the reason they don't do it is because when you do that, you will receive persecution. Now, the persecution is not sickness or disease or disaster. Persecution comes, first of all, from living a life for God.
How many know you'll be persecuted when you go out into the marketplace, go out into the real places of life, and you start being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? You will receive persecution. Well, not only will you receive persecution there, but you'll receive persecution, secondly, when you begin to make a commitment and you dedicate your life to serve God. That's why we taught about disciples, because a true disciple has to be a cut above just somebody that calls himself a Christian. Many cuts above. Amen? Because anybody can call themselves Christian. I mean, just because somebody, you know, somebody can tell you they're a cow, but that don't make them a cow. Right? So we understand that it takes a extra, if you will, a commitment and a dedication to serve the Lord. And today I want to talk about where our power source comes from, because we're looking at the words of Jesus, but in this kingdom that we have come into, and I believe this is a vital word for this year. I believe God has spoken. Not only is it the year of God's glory, but it is the year of God's power. And in that power, He's going to bring provision. And in that power, He's going to bring promotion. And just write down the scripture in Zechariah 4:6. They can flash it up there right quick. But it tells us it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit. Capital S. It's by the Holy Spirit, says the Lord. Now, what that's telling us, it is not dependent upon our human ability. Your human ability or your natural ability is only going to take you so far in life. You are not going to be successful in the things of God and what God has called you to do, serving God out of or from your flesh. The Holy Spirit is in you so that He can work through you. And when you get born again, listen to me, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. But just because you get born again and the Holy Spirit comes in you, the Holy Spirit can remain dormant in your life. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think you came in here just to hear, you know, Pastor preach another message to you. Thank God we can preach. Thank God we can have a message. But we don't want to just be a Christian in name only. Can I hear an amen? We don't want the Holy Spirit who has come to live in us at the new birth, what we call being born again, and He be dormant in our life. In other words, the Holy Spirit not only desires to be in you, but He desires to work through you. Amen. He desires to work through you so that the will of God can be done in the earth. And we have to yield ourselves, and we have to come to that place of revelation that, hey, I'm saved. Oh, thank God for that. And the Holy Spirit lives in me. Thank God for that. But there has to be an expression of the Holy Spirit working through your life so that the will of God can get done in the earth. Now, in John chapter 14, and I believe, how many would say you want the Holy Spirit active in your life, not dormant? Okay. Now, in John chapter 14, let me just kind of quickly go back through some things here. We don't have a lot of time this morning, but let me get you some important things here. Look at verse 12. It says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Now, do we have any believers in here? Well, he said, if you're a believer, he said, you will do greater works. Now, I challenge you to look in your Bible, because I have and I don't find it, that there is a shutoff valve where somewhere the Holy Spirit was shut down in the lives of believers, and all of the great signs and wonders and miracles somewhere shut down, and so there's no more display of miracles and the manifestations and the signs and the wonders of God. I don't find where, you know, as some preach and some believe that the day of miracles is over and the days of signs and wonders and God healing and bringing deliverance and, you know, casting out demons is over because those things died with the apostles. Well, I have trouble with that statement because my Bible says Jesus is the great, not only priest, high priest, but he is the apostle. And so as long as Jesus is alive and he is the great apostle and my faith is alive, then God's word's alive. And if God's word's alive, the last apostle hadn't died because Jesus is alive. And so if my faith is alive, then I can believe God, and he said that he would confirm his word with signs and wonders following. Are you here? And so you won't find where one day it just all ended and now we're just here, you know, waiting and going through the motions and living our life and going about our way, and the God of the Bible is not the same God that we serve today. How many know that is just a lie from the pit of hell? All right. So, in fact, if you study church history, and I know probably some of you don't study those things, but if you go back and look, you'll see 100 years after the apostles that are in the New Testament, the book of Acts, after they died, you still see the church displaying mighty works in the earth. You can go 200 years later and you still see a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the church of the living God. In fact, if you didn't have the church and you didn't have the Holy Spirit evolving through the ages, you wouldn't have the church today. But the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you here? So drop down to verse 15 just for a sake of time. Now, we have already looked at this verse 15 in quite detail. He said, if you love me, he said what? Keep my commandments. This is how we know as a believer, as a Christian, that we love God, not by saying it, but by actually keeping his commandments. Now look at verse 16. And he said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, or as the King James says, a comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now another means one of the same character, of the same kind, or a duplicate of himself. Now look what it's saying. He said, I will give you a duplicate of myself. I am going to give you a helper. It's called parakletos in the Greek New Testament language, and it means, or it's a picture of somebody that comes so close to you that he is close enough to whisper in your ear and show you things and tell you things and even things to come. It is somebody so close, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is not only in us, but he's close to us to be our helper. Are you with me? That's what the picture evolves here, to tell us things. So he not only comes in the new birth alongside of us, but he's also in us. And we're going to find out that that's where the source of our power comes from to live the Christian life. There are so many Christians today that are living defeated. They're living half in and half out. How many know that is not pleasing to God? Jesus didn't go and die on the cross so that believers could live a half-baked life. I mean a half-serving God or half in and half out. Are you with me? So we need a source that we can draw our power from. Because without that source operating in our life, then we're not going to have the strength in our own might and in our own ability to live for the Lord. Do you believe that Jesus wants you to live for him every day? Amen. Not just on Sundays? Come on, every day? To lay down? That's why he said you've got to lose your life in order to find life. All right? So, if you will, just turn over to John chapter 16 and let's read verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Now look, are you there? Just a couple pages. He said, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper or the parakletos will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. The New Testament Greek language, and I'll read out of the Amplified, says, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. Now listen to this. When I say it is profitable, say profitable. It is good, it is expedient, and it is advantageous for you that I go away. He said, because if I do not go away, then the comforter, the standby, the intercessor, that's how it breaks it down, the strengthener, will not come in close fellowship with you. Now, if you just ask a normal person, which would you rather have, Jesus or the Holy Spirit? Jesus or the Holy Spirit? Now, unconsciously, most people say, well, I'd rather have Jesus, of course. Well, let me just stop and say something to you. Listen, listen, listen. Jesus said it's advantageous. It's for your benefit that I go away so the Holy Spirit can come and live in you. Now, thank God for the presence of the Lord. Thank God we can get into worship like we were doing this morning and sense the presence of God in this place. Sense the presence of God as His Word is going forth. But what, let me ask you something. What would happen if Jesus came in here? We'd all be excited, wouldn't we? But what if today He said, I need to go to a church in Houston this morning? How many know we wouldn't have any presence of God? Are you with me? But see, by the Holy Spirit living in us, we can have the presence of God right here in Weslaco, Texas, as well as Houston or New York or wherever it is in the world, because there is no distance in the Spirit. That's why Jesus said it's expedient, it's advantageous for me to go, because when I go, I'm going to send you a duplicate of myself to not only be with you and stand by you, but to be in you. Now, I'm going to give you some, you know, this is what it means to have the kingdom of God living within us. And I want to just give you some names. And some of these names are symbolic to the Holy Spirit, and some of them are really actual names that the Bible in the New Testament mentions that pertain to the Holy Spirit. Now, you're not going to have time to write them down. That's why we tape the services. And if you're interested, you can get the tape. You can go back and listen to these things and get all this information. So I'm not trying to go slow enough where you can write it down, but I want you to understand what we're talking about. That's why we come back and we teach things. We don't just get in here and shout, you know, and just preach all the time. We got to come back and get rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Amen? I said when we face the real devil, we got to have the real Word residing on the inside of us. We've got to have a helper. We've got to have a strengthener. Now listen to it. Here's some names. Some of these are actual names. Some of them are symbolic. Well, there's the dove. There's the presence. There's the power. There's peace. There's anointing. There's water, oil, the word wine, glory, the word cloud, fire. All these are symbolic or actual names of the Holy Spirit. Light, holy, leading, guide, helper, strengthener, standby, counselor, love, rivers, convictor, creator, joy, intercessor, liberty, freedom, producer of fruit, rain, wind, teachers, wisdom, third person of the Trinity, sanctifier, prophesier, spirit of promise, sealed, advocate, witness, earnest of the down payment, and might. Those are just a few of the names of the Holy Spirit when you read your Bible. Did y'all get those down? Okay. Now, I want to talk specifically here because, again, we don't have a lot of time this morning, but I want to talk specifically about three of them right quick. The first one is oil. You know, oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. Oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit, and the reason it is because before we become a Christian, we are a hard shell. Our hearts are hard towards the things of God. So the oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. And what we must understand is exactly what Jesus taught, red letters. In fact, just write it down, Mark 2:22. Maybe they can put that one up there too. It says, and no one, say no one, puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts and it says it bursts the wineskins and the wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined, but the new wine must be put into new wineskins. Now, the literal Greek says it like this. You cannot take brand new wine and put it into old wineskins, but you take new wine and put it into renewed wineskins. Now, again, that is, you know, just an analogy of what they did in that day. they would take a animal pouch or a pouch made out of leather, and once that thing had been used, if they did not rub it down with oil, it would become cracked. It would become brittle, and if you put new wine in that pouch, it would eventually burst and explode. Well, Jesus is teaching us something here, that you cannot put the Holy Spirit in an unsaved person. There is no way that you could put the Holy Spirit in an unsaved person, or that person would die. Now, I know sometimes you don't think of things in these terms, but go back and look at the examples that we have in the Word of God. Remember when the priest would go, the high priest would go and officiate in the temple, that he would wear his garb and he would have those little tassels on the bottom of his garment, and on the bottom of those tassels they would tie little bells, and he would go in and officiate in the Holy of Holies. He would do his ritual, he would do his thing, but he had to prepare himself. And when he went in there, his law, and they would tie the rope around his leg. You've heard me say this before, and sometimes we think this is funny, but you know, as long as those bells were ringing in there, ring, 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 everything was fine. He was cleansed, he was pure, and he was doing his duty as prepared before the Lord. But if they ever heard those bells go thump, then they had the rope so that they could drag the priest out of the Holy of Holy room. They couldn't go in there and get him because the presence of the Lord would annihilate them. Now, some of you are probably thinking, well, that sure is mean of God to kill somebody. No, I didn't say God kill somebody. I said the presence of the Lord and the Holy Spirit cannot be put into an old wineskin. You cannot violate in the kingdom of God the principles of God and live no more than can you violate the principles of this natural world. I just, you know, want you to know you can't go and stick your finger in an electrical socket and be standing in water and not be electrocuted. And then blame God because you got to heaven early. God didn't want you to get to heaven early. Are you with me? There's natural laws, and if we obey those natural laws in the earth, we'll live longer. If we don't obey the laws, you know, if you start to go down the road and you're in a hurry and you're passing somebody where you shouldn't pass and you get into a head-on collision and get annihilated, how many know that's not God's fault? It's because you got in a hurry and you broke a violation of the rule. Are you with me? So if we want to make sure that we live long and we live proper, we've got to obey the natural laws. You're not going to get up on the building here and jump off of it and say, I don't believe in gravity. Because it really doesn't matter what you believe. Just because you don't believe something doesn't make it not so. Okay? When the Word of God declares something, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit here. Make no doubt about it. He's talking about the oil coming into a believer's life. Now think about oil just a minute. Oil. You know, we put oil in an engine. We put oil in an engine so that that engine can stay lubricated. Because without the lubrication, the friction builds up in the engine and the engine will either fall apart, freeze up, or blow up. You know, when your oil light comes on in your car, it's time to check or change the oil. Ladies, you know that little oil light? You keep driving it with that light on for a long time, you're going to be calling husband and say, hey, we got big problems. No, you got big problems because you didn't check the oil. Are you with me? So the oil comes into a Christian's life to keep the Christian from being a Christian of friction. See, not only do you need the oil to come into your life when you get born again, you need the oil to come into your life even while you are being a Christian. Because people that are always in friction, you know, people, they go to school. I don't know why. I just get in friction with those teachers over there. I don't know why. I just get in friction with that lady over there at the supermarket. I just get in friction with somebody all the time. You know how you can tell whether you're full of oil or not. If you're a person that is always getting into friction, then you are not full of the oil of the Holy Spirit. Or the Holy Spirit is dormant in your life and there's no lubrication, and so you're a Christian friction. Everywhere you go, and listen, God has not called you to get into friction. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that we have the power to bless and to stay lubricated in our life so that we don't get in friction with everybody we come in contact to. You know, the Bible teaches us that the fruit of the Spirit is love in Galatians chapter 5. Now, we say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, and all those things. But listen, really, the Greek says the fruit of the Spirit is love, because out of love stems all of the other fruit. If you don't have love operating in your life, then you're not going to have the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, and all the other things that go with the fruit of the Spirit. Are you with me? So the oil is being poured out in us continually so that we can stay pliable, so that we can stay sensitive, so that we will not be Christians that are always in friction and conflict with one another. Can I hear a better amen? All right, now let's go to the next one here right quick. The Holy Spirit is also symbolic to wine. You know, He poured in the oil and the wine. Talking about that good Samaritan on the road of Jericho. Now the difference is this. We talk about the wine representing the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now a lot of churches get in a doctrinal discussion and even have division and differences of denominations over this thing of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But we don't have that in here. We believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we're not going to get in a fight here because we believe the Bible. I mean, man always wants to tell you good things to make you feel good, but how many know Jesus will always tell you the truth? Are you listening to me? So Jesus said it this way. He said, if you ask of the Father for the Holy Spirit, will He not give it to you? Does a good father, when the child asks for a bread, give him a stone? Or he went into all that dissertation, remember? Well, don't you believe that God the Father is a good Father? And He'll give the Holy Spirit to all that ask? But see, here's where the confusion is. Some people have an understanding. Yeah, I got the Holy Spirit when I became born again. You sure did. But there's another step. There's another experience. The people on the day of Pentecost, and we'll see that later. I don't know if we'll get there today. You know, they were saved. So you get the Holy Spirit when you're saved. But there's a difference when you are baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, the other one here, let's look at this one, water, because this is, gets interesting here. Go to John chapter 7, say water. So not only is the Holy Spirit a type, or if you will, represented by oil, and it's represented by wine, but it's also represented by water. In John chapter 7, I like this. Now, here's what Jesus said. Here's some red letters, okay? We're still looking at red letters, but we've got to get a revelation, first of all, who said it, and then why He said it, and are we applying this to our life? We're talking about the source of our power. Well, it says in verse 37, it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast. Now, this is talking about the Feast of the Tabernacles, and they had been in this Feast of the Tabernacles for a full week or for 7 days, it says, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Now, how many know when Jesus cries out with a loud voice, how many know it's a loud voice? Now, here's the question. Without really understanding what we're reading, we have to immediately say, well, why would Jesus stand up and interrupt this celebration? Now, the Feast of Tabernacles was a great celebration. It was a celebration that harvest was about to come. And it was a celebration of how God, listen to me, how God supplied water for them in the desert. And so it was a, once a year, it was an annual big celebration, because the Jewish people are a people of celebration. When they worship God, they celebrate God. And the Bible says that when they came on this day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and if you study and you look at this thing, the priests would go down to the Pool of Siloam. They would leave the temple and go to the spring of Gishon, and there was the Pool of Siloam, and they would take a gold censer or a pitcher of water. They would dip that in there, and they would bring it back into the temple. Now, the people would have a procession behind the priest carrying the pitcher of the water. And, you know, the tradition and the ritual was that they would go singing, and they would go shouting, and they would go dancing. Now, you got to get a picture of this, okay? What were they singing? Well, you can write down. They were singing Psalms 12:3, where it says, or Isaiah 12:3, I guess, where it says that if you draw with joy, it says we draw from the well of salvation. So they would follow along behind the priest with the censer of the pitcher of water, and they would be shouting, with joy you draw from the wells of salvation. They would be shouting, they would be dancing, they would be hollering, they would be just praising God. With joy you draw from the well of salvation. With joy you draw from the well of salvation. With joy. They would go all the way back through the water gate and into the temple, and the priest would take the water and he would pour it on the altar for 7 days. And then on the seventh day, they would do that procession 7 times. And each time they would come and follow behind the priest, and they would say, with joy, you draw from the wells of salvation. And then the priest on that seventh time, it would just begin to mount and mount and mount as the people were shouting and dancing and just, you know, just having a great celebration, because they were celebrating that the hand of God was beginning to bless them, and He was going to provide rain for their harvest. And then they would begin to quote Psalms 118, 25, where it says, save now, Lord, send now prosperity. It says, with joy you draw from the wells of salvation. And as the priest would pour that on the last time, they would begin to shout. I mean, they would begin to dance and say, pray, oh Lord, send the rain, send the abundance, send prosperity. And they're shouting, and they're excited, and they're hollering, and oh, they're just having a great time on the last day of the feast. And here's Jesus. He stands up and says, all you that hunger and thirst. Now, did they have any water? What did He say? Come on, read it. He said, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he had to shout that and cry that aloud above all the other shouts and all the other celebration. If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he said in verse 30, he who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart, or literally out of his innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Just like he told the woman at the well. He said, the water that I give you, he said, you'll not thirst anymore. Now they were in a state of celebration. Did you see that? They were in a state of excitement. They were in a state of anticipation that God was going to send the rain, that God, through His rain, was going to save their harvest, that God was going to prosper, and God was going to promote, and they were excited. And then here comes Jesus. See, He was telling them, hey, that water that He's pouring on the altar will diminish, but the water that I give you will never, ever diminish. The water that I give you, you will never thirst again. Are you with me? So there's no dispute here. He said, out of your innermost being, there will be rivers, plural, of living water. Now listen to me. A river denotes an abundance of water that flows. You have on the inside of you, according to Jesus, red letters, rivers, not a river, but rivers of living water. Now, here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to understand before we leave this today. Is the rivers of living water is flowing out of you. Rivers are not for you, but they're for you to flow out of you for somebody else. No, you didn't hear me. I said there's rivers. There is streams of abundance flowing out of your innermost being, and those rivers flow out to minister to others. You say, what rivers do we have? Well, you have rivers of salvation. You have rivers of deliverance. You have rivers of healing. You have rivers of the Word of God to flow out and to touch other people's lives. It is a principle of the kingdom of God. Well, you minister by those rivers flowing out of you. It doesn't matter if you're a tiny woman, medium-sized woman, or a macho man. We all got rivers of living water flowing out of the inside of us. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And you know, rivers, well, let me just say this before I go, show the other passage. Rivers, listen, have different application. Water has different application, I should say. Because a river is that abundance of streams that come together of water that is flowing. But there is a different application of what water does. Hello? In other words, the river, the Rio Grande River, is not doing much good to water your yard. You need some water. Are you with me? You don't take the ocean, its water, and you don't drink the ocean water. We enjoy the ocean. We enjoy the beach. But I'm just trying to show you there's different applications for the water. The water here, the river, the application is for you to use for somebody else. The reason you have hardly served God is because you are not allowing the rivers of living water to flow out of you. Because if they flow out of you, they will function differently. The river functions differently out there in the real world or the marketplace than it does inside the church. Inside the church, we get very excited, we get very praiseworthy, and we speak in other tongues, and we holler, and we shout. But I would admonish you that you don't go out to your unsaved or your lost boss and start shouting and hollering and speaking in tongues and casting devils out of him. I would pray you don't do that with your river. Are you here? Okay, I'm just trying to show you that the river functions different in different situations. The river is the water of the Holy Spirit, but we've got to have the oil. We've got to have the wine because we've got to have a heart of compassion. We can't just go up to people and say, hey, you don't get saved, you're dying, you're going to hell. You know, that ain't going to work. It isn't going to work that way. You've got to have compassion and you've got to be willing for that river of living water to come out of your innermost being to touch them with compassion. Show them God's mercy. Amen? Show them that the Lord God touched you. That you were on the Jericho road. You were laying there bleeding and dying. And religion couldn't save you. The law couldn't save you. But the good Samaritan found you. Bless God. He bandaged up your wounds. And he poured in the oil. And he poured in the wine. The kind that restoreth my soul. Well, now you won't get loud like that. Like we do here in church. Like I do. But you have to let the compassion of Jesus flow out of you. Are you seeing the difference? Okay. Now go to John. Let me go one more here. Oh man, we just don't have enough time today. John chapter 7. I guess we have all the time in the world. But we do have compassion on the children workers. Right? I mean, how would you like to rotate in there? I'll keep you as long as you want to stay. It's not because I run out of gas or material. Amen. All right, John chapter 7. Let's look at this one right quick. Well, no, let's go to John chapter 4. We'll have to... See, I'm trying to show you something that in churches around the world, they are hopping. They are shouting. They are celebrating. Church, yeah, thank you, sir, for that one amen. They are not like the American church. You go to a mission church. You go to a third world church. You go to a place where they've been in communism or where they've been bound and been in poverty and been bound by government and tradition, and you find a church that has been set free and empowered by the Holy Ghost. That church is alive. It's hopping. It's jumping. They ain't looking at their watch. They're ready to praise God, and they will be there to hear whatever you have to say as long as what you say is from God. It's not like American church where we come in here, we're not excited. We're saying to ourselves, he doesn't know I stayed up late last night watching the movie and I wish he'd get through. After all, it's 12 o'clock. Now, I know you're saying that. See, we're not excited. You know why? Those people are excited because they know they have been delivered. They know they have been set free. They know they've been set free from the hand of the oppressor. They know they've been saved unto Jesus. And when they die, they're thankful they're not going to hell. They're thankful that when they die, their sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus. They are excited about the salvation of God. And we sit here like, yeah. When's he going to finish? Are you here? I'm not trying to get after you. I'm just trying to show you something. We're, for the most part, you know, American church, we're not excited. We're like, man, we'll come if we don't have anything else to do, but make it a hurry. Well, moving right along here. John chapter 4. Are y'all still here? All right. Are y'all excited? Okay. So you didn't want to put that microphone in my hand. Now, this is the story of the woman at the well. Say, the woman at the well. The Samaritan who, and I don't have time to read it all here, so you can just write down 7 through 14, the verses. Okay, you can go back and read it later. But it's where the woman came to the well. Jesus was sitting by the well there, and he said, in verse 7, he said, give me a drink. And of course, she went into a dissertation how that the Samaritans and the Jews have been in feud and fight, and they don't get along, and so on and so forth. And verse 10, it said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was, red letters, say red letters. He says, who it was says to you, give me a drink. You would have asked him and he would have given you what kind of water? What kind of water? Living water. Now look, read on down here to verse 13. It says, and Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Talking about natural water. Talking about just like the priest, as long as they were pouring out from the pool of Siloam with those gold pitchers, they were just pouring out water. But that water was going to evaporate and it was going to be consumed by the fire of God. But Jesus said, now look what he said, but whoever, verse 14, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Shout, never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain or a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Whoa. He said, the water that I give you will be a wellspring. It will be a well of everlasting life. Zoe, Z-O-E, the God kind of life. You drink of this water. This water is the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Ghost. He said that you will never thirst again, and it will be a well on the inside of you that will come up. Now listen, we've already said that water has different applications. A river has a different application than a lake. A lake has a different application than the ocean. But now we're talking about on the inside of you, the source or having a well or a fountain on the inside of us. Two things here. Rivers of living water is flowing out of you for others. But now the well is in you to spring up into the God kind of life because that water is for you. The reason, yes, the reason that the river does not flow out of you is because you haven't realized there's a well on the inside of you that springs up into everlasting life. And just put my scripture back up there, Isaiah 12:3. It says, with joy, you will, don't turn there. It says, with joy, you will draw from the well of salvation. Did you see that? With what?
Joy.
With what?
Joy.
Not sadness.
Joy.
Not doom and gloom and moaning and crying. He said, with joy. Joy is the ladle. Joy is the dipper that you dip down in the well of salvation so that it can spring up into everlasting life. You want to tap into the source of power? Then you're going to have to do it with joy. When things are not going right, oh, oh, therefore with joy, you draw water out of the well of salvation. Oh, when your children are not doing right, with joy, you will draw from the well of salvation. When the day is not going right, man, things are going bad, with joy, you shall draw the waters of the well of salvation. That's why the enemy wants to get your joy. Because with joy is what you draw with. You want a release of the Holy Spirit? I mean, you want the Holy Spirit to be active in your life. I mean, get a hold of what's being said here. We'll get into this a little bit more because we're out of time, but I just admonish you. He said, there's no doubt here that he's talking about the Holy Spirit, is there? He said, whoever drinks of this water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The Zoe, the God kind of life that's on the inside of you. Now, what Christian would want to get saved and the Holy Spirit lie dormant inside of them? No expression, no life, no rivers, plural rivers, flowing out of them to touch people with the very gift that God has placed in you. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is a gift. Are you with me? The Bible says it's a gift of God. It tells us that it's a promise of God to those that believe. You have to get saved. You can't put the Holy Ghost in an unsaved person. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit is in there. 1 John 2:27 says that you have an unction or you have anointing from the Holy Spirit who lives in you. He's living on the inside of you. But is he dormant? Are you touching other lives around you? Are you just concerned about yourself? See, the enemy gets us so introverted, so conscious and aware of our own dilemmas and our own problems that we're damming up the rivers, folks. And the spiritual law, the spiritual principle is when you water others, you yourself will be watered.
Amen.
So If you're living this morning, and I challenge you, just examine. These are red letters. Say red letters. If you're living your life half in and half out, it's because you need to pour in the oil and the wine, and you need to have the water, the infilling, or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What did Jesus say? He said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, Acts 1:8, He said, you will be endued with power, to be clothed with the very power of God. The Greek word is dunamis, where we get our English word dynamite. It's an explosive power. Is your life explosive as far as the rivers of living water coming out of you to touch other people's life? Or are you just kind of casually, you know, see, if you're not on fire for God, then eventually whatever fire you had will begin to wane. If you're not in this Christianity and Christian life to let rivers flow out of you, then the Holy Spirit is going to lay down and go to sleep in your life. You don't want that. Look at somebody and say, you don't want that. Now, in order to draw, in order to activate those rivers, you got to draw with joy from the water of that well of salvation. You know what else? You've got to learn that when you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is where the confusion. See, there's no confusion in most churches and most people who are Christian about the Holy Spirit. The confusion comes about the tongue thing. See, should we speak in tongues or not speak in tongues? Well, everybody in the New Testament spoke in tongues. Did it pass away? Then what's your problem? You know what your problem is? You cannot speak two languages at the same time. Double dog dare you. Try to speak Spanish and English at the same time. Now you can chop them up and speak part this and this and this and this. And so people come to receive the Holy Spirit and they just sit there like a mummy and dummy. No, no. The Holy Spirit works through you. Amen. I said the Holy Spirit wants to flow out of you. Amen. Amen. And so you have to open your mouth. You can't speak English and speak in tongues at the same time. I said you can't speak two languages at the same time. So you got to stop the language you know and then speak in the language that He gives you as a gift, that is a promise of God.
Amen.
Well, when I do that, the Bible says I begin to build myself up. Edify myself, if you will. Plug into the power, the dynamite. I'm talking about the source of your power. I'm quitting here, but just listen to me a second. The source of your power is tapping into the Holy Spirit that is alive on the inside of you. That's why every time we come to the communion table, we do this in remembrance of the Lord. He said, greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. Are you doing the greater works? If you're not doing the greater works, challenge yourself this morning. Because what you are doing is allowing the waters of the river to stop their flow. You're not touching anybody else. No other lives. And so you get weary in doing. Am I talking to anybody? You get weary in doing well and you start looking like the rest of the world for something else. Something else to bring me peace. Something else to bring me joy. Something else to bring me happiness. And you're looking for love in all the wrong places. And you keep looking, the law says what you seek for, you will find. That's why Christians drop out of the race. That's why church is not exciting to them. That's why the things of God are not thrilling them anymore. Because they're not allowing the rivers of living water to flow out of their most inner being. They're not drawing with joy out of the well of salvation. You have to activate that by what? Praying in the Spirit. Now there's the confusion. Praying in the Spirit, you mean I have to pray in tongues? No, you get to pray in tongues.
Amen.
Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for us. If he demonstrated the power with signs and wonders, how many know Jesus didn't do anything until the Holy Spirit came upon him? Come on, folks. So when he said, you go to Jerusalem and wait, tarry there until you get filled. Word filled means totally influenced by. Amen. The Holy Ghost. Amen. Before you go. Now here's the problem. I'm stopping. Here's my third closing. I started late. Battery problems. What did I say? I said, listen, you have to come to a place where you love God more than anything else. Amen. That you receive everything that God has given to you. And that Holy Spirit, see, is praying in the Spirit. Building up myself in the Spirit. Because if I'm not built up in the Spirit, I don't have any joy. I let the world get to me. I let my problems get to me. I let my situations get to me. I let, you know, if there's any day, folks, that we're living in, the day that we live in, how many know we need the Holy Spirit? Amen. We need the Paracletos walking alongside of us. We're living in a I don't want to say a strange day, but it's a day where just one signature of the pen wipes out everything of 8 years of a previous administration of godly things. Amen. Things like making abortion legal again. Are you here? Things like it's okay to take the embryo of young, innocent children and use them for research. Are y'all here? Amen. Well, if there's a day, the economy and all the things we could just get all real gloomy about, is there a day like today? Is there been another day? Well, not in our generation. We need the Holy Spirit more than ever, don't we? Amen. I said we need the Spirit of God, not just in us being dormant, but being very much alive, flowing out of us. I want you to stand up on your feet just a moment. I'm not through, but I'll quit. This is so, listen to me. This is so that you can be a witness. So many people think God's called me to do witnessing. No. Yeah, we witness to people. But God's called you to be a witness. Amen. What does that mean? Does anybody know what that means? It means that you testify of what Jesus has done. Amen. What kind of witness would you be if you're all doom and gloomy? You're all sad, mad, bad, and full of friction. And somebody at the office or school says, well, you know, man, I'm struggling. I'm having all kinds of problems, you know, paying my bills. My wife's mad at me all the time. My dog bites me when I come in the front. I mean, and you're sitting there saying, agreeing, saying, yeah, it's bad. Oh, man. I'm a Christian. I go down there to Living Word, and that pastor, man, he just preaches overtime and everything. And sometimes he makes us cry. Sometimes he makes us laugh. What did he say? I don't know, but it's usually pretty good. You know, that's not a witness. Come on. I'm not trying to get after you today. I always try to help you. Amen? Amen. See, God has given you a pastor. Pastors, part of that gift is to meddle. Yeah, it really is. I'm not your plumber, remember? I'm not your builder. I'm your pastor. So I'll meddle with you every once in a while. I'm not afraid to meddle, okay? Because sometimes it has to get stuck way down in here that we go through things in life, but we're just going through them. Amen. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. The Holy Spirit, there's two very important things besides all the other things. One is to produce the rivers for other people. See, you can get involved. You can get involved in the things of God. Amen. You can get involved in your church. Are you here? But when you're not having a good day, and when things are not going right, you've got a well. Amen. to draw for you. Because if you get down, you're no help to anybody else. Can you imagine if I came in here all down and just cowered up? I mean, you know, man, I just don't feel like preaching to you guys today. You see, that's not going to help anybody, is it? But let's stay encouraged. Let's stay blessed. Let's know this is the year of God's power. And that power that comes from our source. Who's that source? The Holy Spirit. And that source is going to provide. He's going to promote us. Are you here? He's going to bring provision. I want you to receive these sayings of Jesus because this is Jesus saying them. Man will say things to you to make you feel good, but Jesus always speaks the truth in love. It sounds good, doesn't it, to say, well, you know, you don't have to speak in tongues. You don't have to. But that's not what the Bible says. Are you here? So I want you to just lift your hand. We're going to take communion here. Just lift your hands. If you don't have a prayer language, you need one. If you've never been infilled, or whatever you want to call it, infilled, the filling, or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said, how much more